Hello and welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast with me, your host, Pete Brooker. And this episode we're going to talk about whiskey. We're going to have a live tasting with Ewan Gunn, who is the brand ambassador for the Hay Club. Oh, that's lovely. That's really good.
We're very pleased with it.
I literally can't wait for my girlfriend to come back now, walk through the door and find me drinking at 1:30 in the afternoon, still in my pyjamas. It's true. I was drinking whiskey at 1:30 in the afternoon, sat in my pyjamas. Daniel, is it so bad for me to drink whiskey? For me to drink whiskey at 1:30 in the afternoon, sat in my pyjamas?
It's a waste of good scotch.
Shoulder roll. We all remember that from Skyfall when he gets the Macallan 50. Never mind. We're also going to be talking to Colin Dunn, the European whiskey ambassador for Diageo. 8 or 9 times out of 10, the first guy is going to pipe up with, "I'm getting vanilla notes." Right. Now, do you wish, like I do, there is some kind of Acme lever that you can just pull and a trapdoor will swallow them into a piranha pit below? Because surely everything's got vanilla notes. It's in every cask. Oh, God, I can't wait to get into this podcast. Whiskey, I love whiskey. What do you love, Ron?
I love poetry and a glass of scotch.
And who doesn't love a good scotch? We're also going to be talking to Greg Dillon, the editor of GreatDrams.com. He's going to be telling me what he feels like when he doesn't have a whiskey in his hand.
And to be fair, you don't get the mid-afternoon lull at all. You just get a constant fucking lull. And it's there's no peak of performance or usefulness or anything.
And we all know what that feels like. But we're going to kick the show off with that interview with Ewan Gunn, the brand ambassador for the Hay Club. Ewan was kind enough to send on a bottle of the Hay Club Man. So we're going to have a live tasting. This is how it went. It was 1:30 in the afternoon. And I was in my pyjamas. So welcome to the podcast. We have Ewan Gunn on the line. Ewan is the brand ambassador for Hay Club. How are you doing, Ewan?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm very excited about this one. I actually have a bottle of the new Hay Club Clubman in the palm of my hand. It's sitting here without compromise, thanks to the edges of the bottles, as you previously described, for the purpose of barmen, so that they can actually hold the bottle with some grip as they're serving. Yeah. So, Ewan, first off, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself, brag a little bit, if you will, and then we'll get into the whiskey itself.
Yeah, sure. So I'm obviously the global ambassador for Hay Club. I've worked in the Scotch whiskey industry for all of my adult life, actually, so almost 18 years now in various sales, marketing and brand ambassadorial roles. My job essentially involves traveling around the world, talking Scotch whiskey and educating people in Scotch, but also trying to instill a little bit of passion for people around the world in Scotch whiskey as well. My attitude is Scotch whiskey is the most exciting and marvelous spirit in the world, and I just kind of enjoy sharing that passion with people I meet.
Excellent, great. And so the Hay Club, tell me a little bit how you got involved with that, please.
Well, I'd actually been working with Diageo for a few years when we started sort of discussing the idea of launching a single grain Scotch whiskey at scale around the world. And that was something that I was very, very excited about. I've always been a passionate believer in the quality of single grain Scotch whiskey. It's often been described as Scotland's hidden gem. And if you ask anyone that works in the industry, be that distillers or blenders, they absolutely love the liquid. But for a very, very long time, the only way to enjoy the liquid was as part of a blended Scotch whiskey. So I was really, really excited about the idea of actually launching one and sharing it with the world. So I was very keen from the get-go to get involved in this brand. And it's been a phenomenal roller coaster of a ride since we launched. It's been massively successful across the world. It's been so well received, both by industry peers, but also in media, by consumers. Everyone just really likes the liquid and likes the idea behind it.
Great. Could you tell us a little bit about the history, please? It says on, I did a little bit of research, at least 5 minutes of fastidious research before I joined you. So it was established in 1824, I believe. And
Well, the actual distillery where this the Scotch whisky is made was established there by the Hague family. But they can actually trace their distilling roots back to the early 1600s. So although this is a new brand, the Haig family were one of the earliest distilling families in Scotland, and Cameron Bridge Distillery, where Haig Club comes from, was actually one of the first and the oldest single grain distilleries in Scotland. So although it's a new brand, there's actually some lovely history and heritage going on in the background as well.
Excellent. So what, forgive me, what makes it a new brand if it's been going for so long, or if there's been so much history? How come it's wrapped up and it's new and it's all shiny now?
Well, historically, the Haig family initially would have started out as single malt distillers, and they really made their name globally as blenders. So there's a lot of Haig blends which have been and still are available around the world. The Haig Club, the single grain Scotch whisky, is a brand in its own right. So although there is that history and heritage behind it, the single grain brand, the Haig Club brand, is very new.
Excellent. Brilliant. Thanks for clarifying that up. Ewan, I'm just gagging to get this bottle open.
Please do, please do.
I think even my palms are sweating. I know my tongue is salivating. So
I poured myself one before we started the conversation, so I'm ready to share one with you.
Brilliant, okay, all right. So opening the bottle, pouring my first hit. So what notes should I be expecting when I put my nose to the glass?
Well, one of the beautiful things with single grain Scotch whisky is it's actually quite a gentle, quite light, quite subtle style of Scotch whisky. So a lot of people find Scotch whisky quite intimidating. A lot of people are put off by some of that smokiness and power and intensity, which, you know, I do enjoy on occasion. But single grain Scotch whisky doesn't have that. It's a much more mellow, more approachable, gentler style of spirit. It's actually a little bit sweeter in style as well. Now, with Haig Club Clubman, we actually mature the spirit in ex-bourbon barrels, ex-American oak casks. And because of that, we get a lot of that vanilla, butterscotch, and sweet toffee flavors that you tend to find in ex-bourbon casks. So that pairs beautifully with that delicate, gentle style of spirit. So what you're going to find is actually a Scotch whisky, which is very mellow, very smooth, beautiful balance of flavors, and quite subtle in style.
Excellent, great. Well, if you could forgive me for a couple of seconds, I'll take.
Please
this,
enjoy.
I know that doesn't make for great podcasting. Me just sitting back and allowing the flavors to hit every part of my tongue, but it really does take that long. If you're gonna, what I have learned about drinking whiskey, and I haven't really been drinking it for that long, but I constantly get reminded that. That very first taste is to try and hold it on the tongue for as long as you can.
Yeah.
Try and let all the flavors and the notes reach every part of the tongue. Obviously, I'm teaching you how to cook eggs on this one, but this is this is pretty much for the uninitiated. So that first sip for me, instantly the butterscotch, which I think I think you mentioned is very prescient.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's not. I didn't really get overpowered by anything in terms of normally there's a lot of alcohol. I mean, I know it sounds very obvious, but that when you have that first one of whiskey, it's wow, this is hot, this is quite powering. You know you're drinking whiskey, but I think due to the sweetness and the vanilla, I didn't really get overwhelmed or overpowered by it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's really, it's a testament to our master distiller and blender. It's a chap called Chris Clark. He's a genius. He's had over 30 years experience with Diageo and Diageo's predecessors, mostly focused on single grain Scotch whisky. So that combination of the distillery style and the wood influence from the maturation, I think he's just got that balance beautiful. It's a really perfect combination. Mm. And as you say, very smooth, very approachable.
And is there something that I should expect when I take the second sip? Is there something else that I can recognise, do you think?
You might find that vanilla note becomes a little bit more apparent. You'll also find, as I said, a little bit more sort of sweet toffee coming through. But it is very, very mellow. It's just designed to be enjoyed. It's a very smooth, very balanced Scotch whisky.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely. That's really good.
We're very pleased with it.
I literally can't wait for my girlfriend to come back now, walk through the door and find me drinking at half one in the afternoon, still in my pyjamas.
Well, one of the, I don't know if she's a Scotch drinker or not, but I mean, one of the sort of perfect serves that we're suggesting is, I mean, this is wonderful liquid as you're discovering straight up or on the rocks, but actually served with cola, it works really, really well too, because you find you have this sweet vanilla and almost coconut notes of the Scotch, and that just works really, really nicely with those caramel notes from the cola. Mm. So you get something which is very approachable, really enjoyable, and kind of refreshing in taste, and I think perfect in its simplicity. It's not an overly elaborate cocktail or anything, but just a nice way to enjoy a long Scotch whiskey drink.
Yeah, well, it's definitely very very sweet. Is there any target audience for the Hey Clubman in terms of, are you bringing the sweetness through to appeal to a more feminine demographic?
Well, I wouldn't say we're sort of focusing exclusively on male or female consumers. The wonderful thing I think about single grain Scotch whisky in general and Hay Club in particular is that it does appeal to people who maybe thought Scotch whisky wasn't for them. I mean, you ask anyone, they'll tell you Scotch whisky has been cool since forever. But a lot of people are maybe a little intimidated by it, and this is designed to kind of open those doors to new people who want to try and enjoy Scotch whisky. Mm-hmm. But it's also designed to be a style of liquid which Scotch whisky drinkers, existing drinkers, will actually still respect and enjoy. So it's not really homing in on one specific demographic. I think it's more about creating a really great liquid which will appeal to people who are new to Scotch, but also be respected and enjoyed by people who already drink Scotch whisky.
Excellent, yeah. Can I ask you how old the whisky is in terms of the maturation?
Well, it's actually a combination of ages. You'll notice there's no age statement on the bottle. And for that reason, I can't actually tell you the range of ages. But there is some younger whiskies in there, and that gives it a little bit of spice, a little bit of vibrancy. And there are older whiskies, all from the same distillery, of course, as a single grain Scotch whisky. Mm. But the older whiskies then give it a little bit more richness, a bit more depth, and just kind of round it off quite nicely. And we find that by using that range of ages, we're actually able to get something with a little bit more subtle smoothness and a little bit more complexity than we would get if we just focused on one specific age. So I feel we're able to actually create something which is more interesting but also has a better balance.
Mm-hmm. Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Oh, I should have got my cigars out for this. I should just go whole hog. God damn, the day's going to be a write-off. I'm going to just... I mean, is that something that people tell you about the whiskey? It's because it's quite light. You know, it's 40%. It's very sweet. It becomes very Moorish. It becomes a very easy whiskey to drink.
Well, it's designed to
responsibly,
to not be
of course.
Yeah, of course. But it's not designed to be a challenging liquid. I mean, you see so many people getting, you know, to be honest, very pretentious with Scotch whiskey and swirling it for half an hour before they even take a first sip. And this isn't about that. This is about a Scotch whiskey which is there to be enjoyed. Be that with friends on a night out or whatever, but it's designed to be enjoyed.
Ewan, I wouldn't actually be doing my job if I didn't ask you about another brand ambassador for the Hay Club, David Beckham.
Yeah, of course.
So what is his role within the company, and how often do you get to see him?
So David's a partner in the brand, and he's actually a very committed partner. He's given a lot of time and energy to the brand, and absolutely loves working with it. He's become quite a fan of Scotch whisky over the time that I've worked with him. I get to see him probably every couple of months, maybe. And sometimes that's just for maybe a day. Sometimes it's for up to a week at a time. Depends on what we're doing and where we are in the world. He's been to every launch market that we've launched into. And obviously, when you show up with a great liquid, that's wonderful. When you show up with David Beckham as well, that certainly grabs people's attention for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess he gives great credence to the brand. He's he looks fantastic, doesn't he? Let's not
he
beat
does.
Around the bush. You know, he's easy on the eye. I guess the only trouble would be that you'd be distracted. You wouldn't actually remember what he was holding because you'd just be dazzled by his...
Well, he's also a very charming individual. So when he takes the time to explain to people, you know, what he loves about this Scotch whiskey and tell people a little bit about the flavor style of it, people pay attention, they listen, and you know they take that on board and they go and try it. So we have a great liquid in its own right. But when you combine with the style and charisma that David brings, that's a beautiful combination, I think.
Excellent. Lastly, Ewan, thanks for joining us today. But I just wanted to mention that I was reading one of the Bond books earlier on, and I found the word Hague in one of on Her Majesty's Secret Service. So, if I can just read you a small passage from the Bond book, it said, Bond poured himself a stiff bourbon and water with plenty of ice. He went and sat down across the desk from Bond, reached for the Hague, and said, looking directly in his eye, I learned you are a good friend in the Dojami in Paris. He is paid to give me such information when I want it. So, it looks like there is some heritage there for the Hague that is instilled in the Bond books.
That wasn't one I was aware of, but I'm delighted to hear it. I mean, Mr. Bond's always been described as a man of style and good taste, so I'm willing to take that one.
Yeah, well, on Her Majesty's Secret Service, one of the earlier chapters, if you happen to be reading
it. I will look it up, thank you.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to enjoy probably about another two or three of these.
Please do.
thanks again for joining us, Ewan. So what's next for the Hay Club?
Next will be, I imagine, quite a bit of work behind raising awareness of Hay Club Clubmen across the UK markets, and then looking at which markets we're going to launch into across the rest of the world. I think it's going to be an exciting and probably very busy year ahead for myself and for Mr. Beckham.
Excellent, brilliant. Well, I look forward to that. I guess, will there be any more launches at the Marble Arch?
We've actually returned the Wellington Arch just in London, where we did the Hague Club London event last year.
I meant
year.
Wellington we've, Arch, sorry. I've,
yeah, the, that's
the,
all right.
The two hits have already gone to my head.
We've actually returned it to exactly the same as it looked prior to us taking it over. So fantastic. Still an absolutely beautiful monument, but the interior is a little bit different to how you'd remember it.
Well, I'll look at my inbox with great longing hope to see if there'll be an invite to that.
Definitely do. We'll
cheers,
keep you posted.
Thank you very much. Cheers for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you.
And thanks for sending the bottle through. Take care, mate.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Ewan Gunn. I recommend drinking Hay Clubman at 1:30 in the afternoon. Responsibly, of course. It just makes you feel great. Makes you feel like a man. How does it make you feel, Tom? How does it make you feel when you drink whiskey?
It's universal, man. It is evolutional. It is anthropological. It is biological. Oh, it is animal. We are... men!
Thank you for that, Tom. Although we should say at this point that women, they enjoy whiskey as well. This is the 90s after all. But moving swiftly on, we're going to talk to Colin Dunn now, the European Whiskey Ambassador for Diageo. Okay, so welcome to the podcast, Colin Dunn, the European Whiskey Ambassador for Diageo. How are you doing, Colin?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Fantastic, actually. Beautiful day in London, sun shining. I'm looking forward to my first whiskey in about 20 minutes.
Excellent. Okay, do you have a rule that you don't drink whiskey before 12 like I do?
I try.
But then after the watershed, it's the gloves are off.
Exactly.
Excellent. Okay.
You think like a good blend here, you know. We've definitely got something going here.
Yeah, I think so. And so, Colin, just a little bit about Johnnie Walker, please. As you're the more expert, would you, out of all the labels for Johnnie Walker that has produced over the years, do you have a favourite and why?
Yeah, well, when it comes down to Johnnie Walker, obviously people see the different colors out there. There's the red label and green label and black label. And when I got to blue label, which is my favorite, I didn't really get it. I couldn't understand why this pinnacle of the blender's art, Johnnie Walker Blue Label, coming in at about £160. I don't get it. I need to understand why is this so captivating? And I met the master blender, Jim Beveridge, and he sat me down and we did a tasting together of it. And I suddenly realized that just by giving a little bit of time with the nose, the palate and the aftertaste, almost like a good film or a good book, you know, you're looking at the liquid having structure and balance. And all of a sudden, just by taking this liquid and allowing it in contact with your mouth for 10, 15, 20 seconds, it kept changing. And I suddenly realized, you know what, this is a bit special here. And then Jim told me that he takes forever and a day choosing the right casks to go into this blend. He reckons roughly about 1 in 10,000 casks he chooses. He puts aside, matures it, and blends it with other single malt whiskies. That's whiskies from a single distillery to create a new flavor profile. So Blue Label is my go-to if I'm celebrating or if I'm with friends, and I drink it in many different ways, whether it's neat, with water, with ice, even with chocolate or blue cheese. Mm. And recently, I've discovered in the hands of the right mixologist, Blue Label in a cocktail has been an absolute phenomenon for me.
I was actually just going to lead on to that. What is your favorite Johnnie Walker Blue Label cocktail?
Well, one of the biggest cocktail competitions in the world, it's a competition called World Class. It's international. People from over 130 different countries enter every year. And last year, I was privileged to taste a Blue Label cocktail, which had a funky name called Hitting Lock Bottom. And
nice.
Do you see what he did there? Wasn't that clever?
Genius.
And this particular gentleman, a guy called Ali Reynolds, he put together Johnnie Walker Blue Label. He then proceeded to add some cider, some bergamot syrup, a dash of Fernabranca, mixed it all up in the mixing glass, poured it into a glass, and added some Don Runard champagne. I'd never realized how the flavor of whiskey could metamorphosize into something new. It was like whiskey in HD for the first time. So there are bartenders out there in places like in London in particular, and Edinburgh and Manchester, who have realized that Blue Label in a cocktail can be done in the hands of the right individual.
Yeah, that sounds dreamy. I'm already salivating and it's not even 12 o'clock. I should also mention that as well as not drinking before 12 o'clock, I do have a slight loophole in that law.
Do you?
That if I'm on an airplane, if I'm basically above like 2,000 feet above sea level, then again, it's like the postal code thing. You know, you can allow certain things through and I'm allowed to have a drink then.
Excellent. That in the future.
Well, that just means I try and catch early flights whenever possible. So. Do you have a favourite cocktail that you drink exclusively on the plane and nowhere else?
Yeah, mine is normally quite simple. I want something that's cool. I want something that's refreshing. I want something that's long. And for that, I go to my go-to distillery, which is Talisker. Mm. Failing that, often on a plane, it's Black Label. And Black Label with ginger ale is simple, easy to put together for the beginner, but it's incredibly refreshing. If you're looking at Talisker mixed with soda water, the soda water with the bubbles creates endorphins, makes you feel good, long and refreshing. And I think highballs in particular are going to be really popular in the next year or two. So, yeah, long drink, Talisker, Johnnie Walker Black Label, either would do. Is my go-to choice of a simple, easy to make cocktail that's refreshing and easy on the palate and easy on the pocket.
Nice. And highball as well. I mean, that's just a great name for a cocktail, isn't it?
Isn't it?
I've often thought Johnnie Walker, I mean, obviously not purely down to it, but the name Johnnie Walker is such a great name as well. I mean, it's just, it rolls off the tongue. And how much do you think the popularity is down to the name? off the record.
I definitely think almost by default it's had an impact, because it is two words that you can say in any language and everybody knows what you're talking about. It's a bit like saying Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
Or something, you know, automatically you know what it is, and it's got such a good reputation. I'd heard about Johnny Walker way, way, way before I got into whiskey. And every time I spoke to a bartender or a sommelier or somebody in the drinks industry, if you've got a decision to make on whiskey, just by saying those two words.
Yeah. It feels sexy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I'm definitely with you on that. So, Colin, a little bit about you, please, mate. What is your day-to-day runnings? I mean, how do you get to have a healthy lifestyle when you have to drink so much whiskey? Responsibly, of course.
I'm on the floor here. No, basically, I've got a fantastic job, simply because I'm working with a company that's got 28 single malt whiskey distilleries, which means it's almost like being a kid in a sweet shop. I've got so many different aromas and flavors to play with. And you've probably noticed in the last couple of years, people have really got into taste. You only got to look at television or social media with different programs like Sunday Brunch, etc. People are really interested in flavors. And with whiskey, it's really sort of renovated the category, where it used to be a drink considered to be for the more mature person, but now the younger generation are really clued into it. So this means that I'm spending a lot of time with bartenders and sommeliers, talking about the brand, talking about the category, explaining the difference between, in Johnny Walker's case, black, red, green, gold, platinum, tasting them together, using food pairings to bring it to life, working with restaurants, and showing people that whiskey has been able to move into the 21st century with ease and has become front of mind for a lot of people, whether they're customers or whether they're bartenders who are serving about it. Because let's be fair about it, you walk into a good bar these days, you need the bartender to be able to excite you. And this is why it's so important for what we do as ambassadors, to try to energize, educate and entertain the people that we're talking to. We're actually passing the mantle on to them to give to their customers.
Yeah, yeah. What about personally your fitness regime though? I mean, I imagine if you have 3 highballs before it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're not going to be inspired to get on the elliptical machine at 3 o'clock. So do you have to kind of cram all the press ups and the cardio in before lunch? How does it work?
I have to say, it's the hardest job in the world, where all of those things you've just mentioned and more have to be done as early as possible, because as the day unfolds, often I don't really start work until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and often I don't finish until 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, because this is when, you know, the industry really comes alive. So yeah, it's around about 30 minutes every 2 days to get the cardiovascular moving and the resistance. So hopefully I can slip into that suit and look reasonably smart for the day ahead.
Yeah, that sounds like the ticket.
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, okay. No one's there to actually counteract that, so I'll take your word for it. Moving on, what are the... I've been thinking about what the common misconceptions are about blended whiskey. Many people kind of give me the argument of single malts, etc. Why was Johnny Walker at the beginning so intent on blending the whiskey and blending the single malts?
Well, if you go back in time, and I'll keep this really brief and succinct and to the point, because it's an amazing story, really, when you look into it. Here you have a guy back in the 1820s, who's bringing in tea from India. He's bringing in carpets, he's bringing in silks. He's blending tea in the back room of his shop. And he suddenly realizes he's in the home of aqua vita, eau de vie, ushkava, ushki, whiskey, the water of life. So he starts buying in barrels of whiskey, and they've all got different flavor profiles. So he starts to blend. So he has, you know, a light and fruity blend, a smoky blend, a rich blend. And customers started to come into his shop and say, I'd like some whiskey to take home. And he'd say, well, what kind of flavor would you like? And hey presto, he would then create a flavour for his private customers based on their needs and their wants. So if you look at individually, single malts, which is whiskey from a single distillery, they have their own kind of like DNA, which is not, dare I say, everybody's cup of tea. It has its, people have particular favourites. So in the winter time, for example, you might have a smoky whiskey like Lagavulin or Kalila. But if you're looking at something that's going to encompass all of these flavors into a balanced taste, blends are what is basically what keeps the industry alive. Around about 90% of the whiskey drunk in the world are blends. And some people wrongly have said that malts are better than blends. But I have a lovely little thing that I do where I put Blue Label, or in fact Green Label, into blind tastings with the so-called whiskey aficionados. And I ask them to, can you tell me which is the blend here? And you know what? They invariably, 99 times out of 100, they choose the blend as a single malt. And the whole idea is a malt is not better than a blend. It's different. It's really a bit like saying your football team, so let's just use it as an example. You say Barcelona is better than Real Madrid. It's public perception. It's down to the individual. Whiskey these days is playing in so many fields that blends is a great way to start, to appreciate taste and flavor. So I definitely, to put it to bed, my last words on it, blends are every bit as good as single malts, and that it's down to you or your individual palate to make your own decision. Nobody tells me what's good and what's not good. I'll make up my own decision, and blends can definitely do that. In fact, I'd so wish that you were in this room right now and I'd show you exactly what I meant by bringing a Johnny Walker blend alive to your palate.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I wish I could just teleport there and get a cut glass tumbler in my hand and start drinking whiskey right now. Well, that's pretty educational. I mean, I'm kind of, I wouldn't say new to whiskey or the laws of whiskey, as it were, but I'm just kind of trying to find my way through the muddle of what is conjecture, what is opinion, and what is fact when it comes to the blends. And like you say, the more people you talk to and the more aficionados that throw their weight around, sometimes the more convoluted it gets for me. So I think you're right.
I mean, what I'd say to you is, as an example, for somebody who's never tasted whiskey or is trying to get through that maze of trying to understand what whiskey's all about, if we were together right now and you said to me, sum up whiskey, you know, in 30 seconds, I would have, or would ask you to taste Johnny Walker Blue Label with me, neat, with water, with ice, with water and ice. I'd bring along a couple of food pairings, some truffles. I might even bring along some things like oysters or shellfish, some cheese, and then serve you in a cocktail, so that you would be able to sample a singular blended whiskey in about 7 or 8, 9 different ways. And then you could decide yourself then, not me, your palate could decide then which one or ones that actually turns you on. Because ultimately, if you take away the social media side of it, the words, etc., it'll be your palate that will make the decision for you. And I that's part of what I do, really, is to try to turn people on to experience taste in a new way in 2016.
Awesome. Well, that sounds like a wonderful date.
We're on.
I'd be up for that. Lastly, Colin, I have this thing when I go to whiskey tastings. I just want to get your opinion on this.
Yeah.
When I speak to the brand ambassadors and the people and the mixologists, etc., and they then throw it to the room, they say, right, smell it, drink it, and what are you getting? 8 or 9 times out of 10, the first guy is going to pipe up with, I'm getting vanilla notes. Right now, do you wish, like I do, there is some kind of Acme lever that you can just pull and a trapdoor will swallow them into a piranha pit below? Because surely everything's got vanilla notes. It's in every cask.
Yeah. Well, strangely enough, it's not in every cask. It is there sometimes, often more often than not, admittedly. But do you know what? I try not to put the person who's nosing or tasting into a position of saying, what do you get? I'd actually be doing the tasting with you, and I would have some, quite possibly some aroma jars to be able to give you to try to get you on that journey, because these days, particularly in a city, there's so many different nationalities that are sampling whiskey for the first time, and I want them to be able to understand that the aroma that they're getting works to get their olfactory glands working. I don't want to make it too heavy here. You can use small or big words to describe whiskey. I'd rather that you just allow the whiskey maybe 10 seconds on your palate and for you to use words that you feel comfortable with. There's no such thing as the perfect tasting note, but there is such a thing as you being woken up to the joys of tasting whiskey in different ways. And I probably wouldn't give it to you neat to start with. I'd probably build it up so that you taste it acoustic and then eventually you taste it electric, where I'd show you the different dimensions of what whiskey is all about. Forget all the big words, put a smile on your face, keep your tongue firmly in your cheek, and use your nose and mouth to be able to make up a description that you feel comfortable with.
Oh, God, Colin, I'm so thirsty now. I've literally got to go to the drinks cabinet and pour something. Listen, thanks for taking the time out to speak to me. If you want to find out more about Johnny Walker, obviously go to the website, johnnywalker.com. Is there anything big coming up, any huge releases that people should look out for?
Well, obviously, we're coming up to Christmas. Dare I say that word? Damn it, I've said it for the first time. If I'm actually looking at certain customers, or friends, should I say, that I'm not sure what to get them, I tend to go for a gift pack, a small Johnny Walker Blue gift pack, and I'll put in just a few little hints. And in fact, often I'll say, here's some Johnny Walker Blue for Christmas. Hope you enjoy it. Please invite me along and we can taste it together. Awesome. The perfect gift for that Yuletide occasion.
Sounds dreamy.
Excellent.
All right, Colin, I'll let you go. I'll let you go.
I'm happy to talk to you.
You too. Take care, mate. See you soon.
Thank you. All the best. Bye-bye.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. Thank you for that, Colin. And now for a word from our sponsor over at Suntory Whiskey.
Hey, come on! Stand!
For relaxing times, make it Suntory time.
Cut! 本当に分かってんなんだ、とぼけちゃって。これはサントリーの響きだよ。高いんだから、サントリーの中で一番。もうもっと高級な気持ちで、ね。日常的なお酒じゃないんだよ。
Could you do it so well?
最高な気持ちで。
もう、intensity.
Thank you for that, Bill. And we're going to finish off now with that interview with Greg Dillon, the editor of GreatDrams.com. On the podcast now, we have Greg, the editor at GreatDrams.com. How are you doing, Greg?
I'm doing very well, thank you, sir. And yourself?
Oh, I'm splendid. I'm absolutely splendid, and that's the truth. Greg, tell me, please, just a little bit about the website, how it started, and what got you into it, into
sure.
whiskey, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been collecting whiskey for about 11 or 12 years now, and started, actually, when my father passed away, he was a big whiskey fan, but only liked what we affectionately referred to in the house as, well, poor whiskey. He never branched out into single malts or interesting stuff. So took the baton then and just ran with it, really, and thought there must be something a bit more interesting than generic blends X, Y, and Z. Mm. And, yeah, then eventually started consulting with whiskey brands on building their brands or fixing their brands or whatever. And from a branding and strategy point of view, and thought, why am I talking about this just to clients and not to the wider world? Let's see if anyone wants to listen and read. And Great Drams was born and has gone from strength to strength ever since.
Excellent. So what does your collection of whiskey look like now at home?
Unfortunately, I've actually shipped about half of it to storage just for a mixture of safety, but also for space.
Just in case we have that nuclear fallout, you'll always have whiskey to go to somewhere in the cellar.
I know, 300 miles away, there is an absolutely rocking bar. and it was fully stocked.
Excellent.
At home now, we've got a whiskey cupboard or cabinet, the main one with all the kind of live interesting whiskies in it, and then a couple of cupboards and then a bar as well, which is somewhere between whiskey and wine.
Awesome. Well, Greg, do you mind just telling us a few things for the layman's, what things like peated whiskey is, for example, if we can get going there, how is a whiskey smoky flavored and tasting?
Sure. So essentially whiskey is, the peated whiskey is actually really quite polarizing. Laphroaig being the absolute classic of that, and the Laphroaig 10 especially being one that is kind of typically referred to as the Marmite whiskey, if whiskey drinkers like peated or not. And strangely enough, was the whiskey that got me into whiskey way back when and convinced me it's a good idea that if I can overcome this flavor profile, I should be all right trying all the others.
It's clean sailing from here.
Absolutely. So the differences in the process, so the barley or the kind of the input at the beginning of the process is smoked through using peat versus the unmalted barley and unpeated barley that goes through into the mashing and fermentation process.
Right, so it's there at the beginning, almost at the nerve. It's already got that smoky character before it goes into the process.
Yes. So once the spirit comes out, and you can actually tell quite wonderfully from new make spirit, which typically has very little character, or so is said, you can tell the peated ones. So Highland Park, for example, I've been doing a bit of a study into new make at the minute, and the Highland Park versus, say, the Macallan new make is polar difference between them. They are so contrasted by that peat note that comes through the Highland Park, which very sweet, like that heather honey type peat to it, and aroma that associated with it, that then once matured will bring through all those wonderful notes that we expect from a peated whiskey.
Do you think, I mean, I've been on a few trips now and I've found that the peated whiskey is actually probably the most divisive amongst people that like a good whiskey but won't ever go into peated, and then the people that know the peated whiskies are almost the elitist amongst the whiskey lovers. Yeah. How do you find it? How do you find the range?
I find people are increasingly, I think, for instance, peated whiskey is becoming a lot more flexible and fun now. So before, you wouldn't really use them in too many cocktails, but now, I mean, our house serf, for what it's worth, the few people that come and visit me, is like an old-fashioned made with either a Laphroaig 10 or an Ardbeg 10, and you're seeing more and more smoked cocktails, smoky whiskies being used in cocktails, and I think that's breaking down those barriers. People are seeing that to be a smoky whiskey or a heavily peated whiskey isn't actually a scary thing, unless you're, you know, looking at the Octomore, which is effectively like chewing on a peat brick the first time you have it.
The Brookladdock Octomore.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. But for your classic peated whiskies, you know, there are degrees of peat. They can be incredibly precise. So it's what it's called a PPM, so parts per million of phenols that actually create this flavor profile. And so on Islay, for example, which is, you know, the home of peated whiskey, it ranges from Bemore, which has an incredibly low, potentially single-digit PPM, to Laphroaig, which is roughly 24, 26, to Ardbeg, which is 55, and then you go up to the Octomore from Brookladdock, which I think one of theirs is clocked in at 258 or 256 PPM, which is a bonkers.
Wow.
And there's rumors that they've gone even higher than that, but nothing's been officially said as yet. But they can be so precise in what they get. Like if you're in a Speyside whiskey distillery, for example, the Glenrothes, it's one PPM, and it's still classed as unpeated because it's so low, but it's just to give it a bit of character.
Mm. For people that don't really drink whiskey, I mean, I got into drinking whiskey quite late. And it took a trip to the distillery, actually, on the Islay as well. How would you introduce people to whiskey and say, look, you know, this isn't going to blow your head off. If you learn how to drink it right and introduce your palate to the actual character of the whiskey, is there a way, is there kind of like an initiation almost that you do to introduce people to a whiskey?
Yeah, I do. I do it within beginner whiskey tastings that I host every now and then, but I always start with an Ockentoshan. So it's from the lowlands and it's pretty light, triple distilled. And what you get there is a character that's not too dissimilar to Irish whiskey, but it's almost Irish whiskey in a Scotch jacket, so to speak. It's quite soft, really smooth, still full of character, but a zero burn, and it just allows you to be able to actually understand what good whiskey is without getting into the ridiculously potent profiles of other regions. And then we'd hit normally a Glenkinchie as well, potentially, and various others in the lowlands and up to about Edinburgh and kind of Speyside is the one you graduate into after that, really.
Excellent. Okay, so that's like the gateway drug for whiskey.
Nice. Yeah, well, that's how I do. I mean, there's people do it. You can either, or you start at Octomore and work your way down and see what happens, but I wouldn't advise that.
Cool. Okay, Greg. Well, look, cheers, mate. Thanks for jumping on. I hear that you're also doing a book, is that right? Or you're in the middle of getting something published?
Yes. So I've just finished a book on whiskey brands. So it travels through a nice conversational travel through 19 or so whiskey brands and how they've contributed to whiskey being what it is now over the last 200 years through distillery stories, firsthand kind of experiences and tales of way back when. And so that's with publishers at the minute, and hopefully should be somewhere, or at least on one shelf somewhere, by the beginning of next year, maybe middle, who knows.
Excellent. Okay, well, I look forward to seeing that. And if you want to check out Greg's work, his fine work, it's over at greatdrams.com, and follow him on Twitter, it's at greatdrams, is that right?
It is indeed, sir.
Excellent. Brilliant, Greg. Oh, lastly, Greg, your favourite plane drink, the drink you only have on a plane when you want to feel sexy.
I nearly exclusively drink double gin and tonics on planes.
That's right.
And always ask for two.
Nice. What, at the same time?
Absolutely.
Okay, I guess you can't get a quadruple in a glass. That would just be gluttony. Well, brilliant. Cheers, Greg. I'll check in with you soon, mate.
Brilliant. Thanks,
Pete. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you for that, Greg. And thank you, everyone that joined the podcast this week. Thank you, you and Gunn. Thank you, Colin Dunn, and thank you all for listening. If you want to head over to the Menswear Style site, this is where all the blogs and the fashion and the car descriptions and all the tips and advice and the grooming, everything happens over there. It's menswearstyle.co.uk. On Instagram, it's at menswearstyle, same on the Twitter. So do check us out. I hope you enjoyed the episode. I'll see you again in a couple of weeks. In the meantime...
Do you have anything to drink?
I believe the kegs are upstairs.
That is what the Cretans drink. I'm talking about alcohol, liquor, the good stuff.
All right. I got some scotch.
Single malt?
Aged 18 years. The way I like it. Why don't you go grab a glass from the bar?
Think I should. Allow me.